Hey guys, welcome to the Twiniversity Podcast, a show created exclusively for parents of twins. I'm your host, Natalie Diaz. I am a mom of twins. I am also the Twiniversity founder, and I am the best-selling author of the book, What to Do When You're Having Two. Our goal at Twiniversity is to make sure that you always feel connected, we laugh at the little things, and we really do get to teach you a few tricks along the way. And that is what we hope this podcast is about to do. So welcome to Twiniversity. A question that we get asked here at Twiniversity time and time again is, how do I know that my twins' car seat is installed correctly? Well, if your twins are getting ready to move up to a convertible seat, then look no further than the Britax ClickTight for easy installation the first time, every time. The Britax ClickTight installation system makes safe car seat installation as simple as buckling a seatbelt so that everyone can install with real confidence in just a few easy steps. You just open the buckle and close. That's it. So stop worrying if you're doing it right and feel confident that every single time you do it, it's right with a Britax ClickTight. Welcome back, everyone. Today, I am going to fill your ears with stories of positivity, happiness, puppies, unicorns, butterflies, peonies, that's my favorite flowers, along with hydrangeas. Spring is here. It's time for good stories and wonderfulness. So I am really floored by today's guest. And first of all, let's start by saying she is literally around the world from where I am sitting right now. We have never had a podcast guest that has been geographically this far from us. And I am like automatically, like the first thing that I said is, how the heck did you hear about us? So today we are speaking to Carissa Hannigan. Yes, like Miss Hannigan. If you want to call her Miss Hannigan, like an Annie, feel free, because she can't hear you call her that. So that's totally fine. But we are speaking to Carissa today, and she is in Sydney, Australia. And she wrote us and she's like, I got a good story. And the good story is that everything went right. How fantastic is that? I also want to go on the record and say, if you hear clicking in the back of this, understand we're not editing it out. It's my dog eating her bone directly next to me as if she's trying to say, Nat, I'm just going to sit here because I want to be with you and Carissa. And why can't I be? Oh, she's part Australian cattle dog. That's probably why she's feeling a little close right now. So now it's all making sense to me. So welcome, Carissa. Good evening, good morning, and everything in between.
Thanks, Nat. Good morning to you.
Good morning to me. It's so crazy. This is wonderful. And I'm so excited. And so Carissa and I have already been speaking a little bit, which I typically don't do. It's kind of like my golden rule when we tape a podcast to never speak to a guest before I press the record button. But to me, I am absolutely fascinated by Australia's maternal care system that I immediately was like, tell us everything. But we're going to get to that. So now, Carissa, tell the universe a little bit about you and start off into your happiness. Like, how did we get to where you are right now being a twin mom?
Okay. Our twin journey started about in 2015 when our oldest was about two. We decided that we would complete our family with one more. And we found out, surprise, there's two. Oh. So it was a very big surprise. We had just bought a house, and we were not expecting that. It was a very big surprise, but it was exciting. And the pregnancy just went really well. Stella and Liam were born at 37 plus weeks, so they were considered pretty much full term, and they avoided the NICU and they avoided the special care, and we were home in about 5 days, and then the chaos started. Oh. But yeah, it was just a very fairly uneventful pregnancy, and then they were with us.
How awesome is that?
How awesome is that? So when you found out, so you're like, you and your hubby. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm going to assume hubby. All right, good. I was like, oh my God, I didn't ask that. So you and your hubs, you're like, we're gonna expand, and this is what we're going to do. So you do twins run in your family, right? And am I the first people person to ask you that? Okay. Like, where do I fall? Do you think, like, how many times you think?
I'd probably say at least every time I go out in public, someone would say, ask that question. My mum's an identical twin. Mm. So, but I know that is just science's freak of nature, if I can call it that.
Yes, you can. It's okay.
Fraternal twins, I know, are the ones that fall genetically. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the mother that has to, so on my side of the family. Yeah. And I haven't actually done a genetic history, but in our immediate family and our extended family, even there's no fraternal twins. So no, I know they're more likely once you get to a certain age.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's what happened, and that's,
oh my gosh,
they are. Yeah.
I love this, and I want to know, like, in your twin club. So you have a pretty sizable local twin club down in Sydney. Do you belong to the one in Sydney, or how is it divvied up down there?
Okay, so it's done. So it's all run through the Multiple Birth Association, yes, which is a national, yes, system. And then we're divided geographically. So ours is actually, and I should have checked this for you, I don't know if it's the largest, but if not, it's one of the largest, mm-hmm, and it's Southern Sydney Multiple Birth Association. Okay. And they're referred to as SSMBA for short.
Okay.
And they cover quite a large area. So they cover what we would refer to down here as Sutherland Shire, Liverpool, out to Bankstown and through the MacArthur region.
Yes.
So it's very, very large. So how it's done is they would normally divide up catch-ups into certain areas, and mm-hmm, then we would have, and everyone's welcome to join or go to as many things as they want to. It's just that means, as you do with newborns, you might not want to travel so far.
Yeah.
So they usually try and keep the catch-ups within maybe like half an hour distance of, mm-hmm, where you would live. And then you're welcome to attend as many on whatever days, if you work different days or whatever. And you can just, there's usually one a month. But then with the different areas, it can fall at least once a week, depending on where you are.
Well, that's good. So if you did feel like driving or did feel like going someplace, there's always something to do.
Or, you know, sometimes, you know, it's raining and the kids are stuck inside and you might just want to head to, one that's, you know, half an hour away from you, and everyone's welcoming and just as amazing. And
when did you go to your first meeting?
The twins were about 4 months old.
Okay, it was, so they were already
summer,
here.
So it was our January. They were here.
Okay.
I didn't actually find out about it until I was probably about 8 months pregnant.
Okay.
And I just decided to wait and see whether I wanted to or not. Okay. And then I wish I had joined earlier, because mm-hmm, I think it would have been a great way to find out things about what kind of strollers to get, and had just logistically how to do things in the early days, because I think that would have been a great help. And once they're here, it's just so chaotic. You just run with whatever.
You're lucky. In Twiniversity classes, which, by the way, we've had families from Australia, but they are typically like doing 12,000 things, like literally during class, which I think is always funny because of the time difference. But it's interesting because with our classes, they really are a global thing. It's just tips and tricks, and it doesn't matter where you are. But it's a lot for the people that don't have a twin club or don't find out about their twin club, because your local twin club really will give you everything. And we're pretty lucky to have a good system over here. So our big group is the National Organization of Mothers of Twins Clubs, or Multiples of America is what they call them. Then we have kind of the trickle down underneath. But I know that you guys have a giant club. I've always threatened to come down there and come spy on your club.
You should.
I know. Should. I want to stop in Hawaii and then continue the journey. I think that's going to be the way that I'm going to make it there eventually someday. So now, going back to your happiness and the positivity, and like, I want to just get back on that, because we focus on so many things at Twiniversity. And I was telling Carissa that you know, we focus, we try not to focus on negativity, but when you see a topic sometimes on Twiniversity, it often is deemed negative, but we want you to click through it, or we want somebody that's finding that topic on Google or whatever to click through it and find tips and tricks and helpful information. So today I was like, no, we're staying on positivity because you are... It's not as uncommon as people think, which this sounds crazy. It's not as uncommon as people think to have a wonderful pregnancy and a wonderful delivery. Now, you had the benefit of having an older son, and then you get this bonus, you know, embryo in your second batch of trying. Mm-hmm. How did you find that the pregnancies differed? And what did you say, like, this is the thing I've noticed first? And, like, how did that go, comparing one to the other pregnancy?
Yeah, it's actually funny because... I just moved, and I felt like I found out quite early that I was pregnant because I just felt it, picked up on the signs. You know, you start to smell things weird and things like that. but I felt something was different from very early on. I would say before probably less than 8 weeks. So I felt like I had more back pain. I showed very quickly. So that was different in the pregnancy. I had really bad morning sickness with my oldest, but I wasn't very nauseous, whereas this time around I was extremely nauseous but didn't really get sick without going into too many details.
Yes. We're fine with details, by the way. It doesn't scare us.
Something was just different. And so I had thought maybe it's a girl this time, or maybe I was interested to see the first ultrasound. I mean, not that that would have shown anything, but just to see how everything was going. And it wasn't what I was expecting. It's not what someone had made a joke or said something. And funnily enough, when we went for our first ultrasound, I made a joke to my son, who was 2 at the time. I said, "How many babies in mummy's belly?" And he said, 2.
Oh, my gosh. He willed it. He willed them into your belly. Oh, that's not good. Thank God he didn't say 3. That's all I have to say.
I asked him a week later, and I said, "How many?" And he said, 8. And I went, "No,
no, that's where we draw the line." Oh my goodness! But yes, that's very funny. So he called it. He was like, "Listen, this is what he knew. He knew the little spidey senses that he had. That's unbelievable." So you already started seeing that it was different. Did you do anything differently in your twin pregnancy than you did in your, you know, in your single pregnancy? Because once you're like an experienced pregnant person, did you seek help for your nausea quicker? Did you find that like acupuncture worked in your first pregnancy and now you're like, I'm going to do it in your second? So what's something that you benefited for the twin pregnancy that you may have experienced the first time around for the singleton pregnancy?
I guess that I just really tried to listen to my body. So if I was tired, I tried to rest, which wasn't easy because we had a 2-year-old.
Of course.
I didn't really – the nausea, even though it was bad, I just tried to – I knew for me, I knew, okay, I needed to get on top of making sure I had lots of snacks on hand. So I just made sure I always had some snacks and just ate lots of bread because that always worked for me.
Good.
And that's what I learned from the first time around. So I knew that I just needed to get on top of that quickly.
Okay.
And my pregnancy with my first ran over. So he was at 40+4. So even though people were saying, you know, they might come early, I just thought, well, he's pretty stubborn. So maybe these guys will be too, and they'll just wait in there a little longer and we'll be lucky. But I guess I just tried to really just not to stress about it, which is not something I tend to overthink things. So for me, it was just about just trying to relax because this was going to be the last time for us.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you miss out on that with twins sometimes because you have that first one, you think the second time around, you've already done this, you already know it, you know exactly how it's going to go, and you can just relax into it a little bit. But with a twin pregnancy, there's obviously extra stresses and things that you might, there's that unexpectance of what might happen. So, but I just tried to just relax into it and just go with it, really. Yeah. And that's what the first time around taught me is just, I was probably first time around, you're just so concerned with overthinking everything.
Yes.
And you just, it seems like the longest 10 months of your life. And the second time around, I just tried to, you know, what was going to be was going to be. And
yeah.
it was, if they came early, I was going to try and prepare myself for that. And if they stayed in there longer, then that's what was going to happen. So
I love it. Yeah. To think about that, I think that that definitely plays a big role in the enjoyment of your pregnancy, because if your first pregnancy is your twin pregnancy, you're overly concerned about, are they safe? Am I okay? My preeclampsia, I'm swelling, like everything happens. But if you're like, yeah, I know about that, I saw that swelling before, I'm just going to roll with it, I'll call the doctor. Like, you have a lot more confidence, you know, when it's your
exactly.
second pregnancy around. Now, when it was time for showtime, how did you determine, like, did your water break? Like, how did delivery day occur for the 20s?
Okay. So they were a planned C-section.
Okay.
We were about a 15-minute drive to the hospital. I had to be there about 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. So we spent the night before with my son.
Okay.
We, you know, said goodnight to him. He was still in bed when my husband and I left for the hospital. We arrived, you know, I was fasting, and I get very hangry. So I'm not a good hungry person at the best of times. I was nervous because I never had an operation at all in my whole life. So
okay.
That was the scariest part, I guess. I wasn't scared for the recovery. I was scared for, you know, having them arrive safely.
Yeah.
But my husband's a bit of a jokester. So prior to me receiving the epidural, he was in the prep room, I guess. And he's like playing around with stuff, and I'm going, don't touch anything. Just leave everything alone. But that was just his way of dealing with it.
Yes.
And and then, I think they were running, you know, behind.
Yeah.
So instead of us going in at, you know, I think we're maybe 2 or 3 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
So they arrived, I think, pretty much on midday, and then 12:01.
Yeah.
Wow. I cried when I heard her voice because, you know, it's just the sweetest sound. And then I got to hold them, and then they went with my husband. So they always have one of the either the baby goes with the mother or the baby goes with the father.
Okay.
Or the support person, whoever it is.
Yes.
Or partner, I should say. So I held them. I went to recovery.
Wow.
The twins went down. Yeah.
Okay, so you got to hold them after your C-section, which is standard procedure in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You get to hold your babies. That's fantastic. That's not always the case here in the U.S., I will tell you.
Sometimes they even try and promote skin to skin contact. That they're very big on that. So that was very big with my first.
Mm-hmm.
Just lots of skin to skin contact. I didn't get to do that with the twins.
Yeah.
But I did when we went back to after the recovery. So I think I was in recovery for about half an hour, and then. They joined us and
From what I understand for my Australian families and just in general, I understand that your deliveries are significantly more, you know, primal and more organic and less medicinal
mm-hmm.
when possible, and less medicinal and clinical. So where are, you know, here in the U.S., like if you have a C-section, not every doctor, and the thing is, it's sometimes at the doctor's discretion. It's not even like, you know, U.S. policy of like, here's what happens after a delivery. So I love that. And I love that that's your standard in, you know, in Australia. That's a standard. The standard of care is baby goes with the mama, baby goes with, you know, the partner or papa. And that's the way that it goes, which I love that. Now, when you went from the OR and then you went to recovery for a little bit, or did you go right to a room?
So you go straight after any procedure over mm-hmm. here, and if it's a day surgery, you go to a recovery room. They watch you depending for, I think, half an hour to an hour.
Okay.
And then just to make sure, you know, your blood pressure maintains okay, everything seems okay, they can keep a very one-on-one watch on you.
Yes.
And then once that time passes, you go to your ward.
Okay. And then once you're in your room, are the babies in the room with you, or are they in a nursery?
Yes, they are.
So they literally room in with you. And do you have a room by yourself? And is that standard, or are you partnered with another parent?
That's a good question. So the first time, do you want me to talk about with the first time around? So the first time
any,
around with
any,
Noah.
Whatever you want. I'd love to hear about this.
It gets quite complicated. So we have public hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you can, and it doesn't matter on your income, it's not income tested at all. So you can choose to go through our public system. And what that means is that your care from start to finish will be covered completely. You do not have to pay a thing.
Okay.
So you don't have to have private health insurance. Your baby will be delivered and you will go to generally a shared room.
Okay.
So I went through the public system the first time around.
Okay.
I went to a public hospital. And that means that you don't get to pick your doctor.
Okay.
So the doctors, you might go through what's called a shared care system, which means your local, your GP, your family doctor will take care of you, and the midwives, they'll share the care of your, of you through the pregnancy.
Okay.
And that's what I did the first time around. I went to the maternity ward was split. So you have private rooms and you have shared rooms. The shared rooms only have one other mum in there with you and the baby stays with you. So I don't think there's any hospital unless it's a NICU or a special care. So I'm not sure about how it works with you guys. But over here, you need to reach certain levels to be at a NICU. And then if you're not quite there but you're not quite wanting to be left on your own, then the bub will go to a special care nursery.
Okay.
And that's the only time that the bub will be away from you. So the baby is in your room with you. If you're with the twins, I was in a private hospital. So I picked my doctor, I had my OB, I was in a private room. All the rooms in the private hospital are single rooms. And in fact, on day two, I actually got a double bed.
Wow.
So I got a double room, a double bed.
Wow. All right. I like this idea.
So your partner can stay overnight with you.
Mm-hmm.
In a shared room, that's not allowed, but in a private room it is. So your partner can stay as many nights as they want to, really, and support you. Or if you've got other kids at home, then obviously they can be at home as well. But that was amazing. I really liked that.
I want that experience too. I'm coming over. I'm having a party in that room. That's it. I don't have to cook or clean a double bed. What is happening? I want this idea.
Yeah. So
unbelievable. Yeah. That's really nice. So you all were together as a family in your room, and then you stayed there for a few days and you came home. And was there any, you know, was there any issues with the transition from hospital to home? And how did your son deal with these two additional little things coming home with you?
he struggled. He struggled quite a lot at the beginning. So I talk in an article that I wrote for you guys that it was just like this. It was like the clock struck five and everyone just started crying, all three of them. And it was just – and I remember in the early days I would just laugh because I would just think that it is so chaotic that it's just actually comedic because there's nothing else you can do at that time. So, yeah, he struggled. So we just tried to juggle that with juggling our time between him and having him have some more one-on-one time. They were great day sleepers, so that made things a lot easier because it meant when you could put them down for a nap you could really and they still are great day sleepers holding on to that 2.5 nap.
Good.
It just meant we could focus on him and just really try to help him transition into it and enjoy having siblings.
I have a giant weird question. So I want to know what the hospital policy or what kind of instruction did they give you when the twins were born and you were going home? Did they mention to you about how your twinnies should sleep? Like, did they recommend that they co-crib or separate? Like, what was the hospital's recommendation?
Yeah. So we have, they're very strict. So When you leave, they actually have this almost like an outgoing information, and they pretty much read from a brochure on various things. One of the things that are big that all hospitals promote, and it's a policy, public and private, is something what they call the SIDS, so sudden infant death syndrome. So they promote healthy sleeping habits. So they do say it is not recommended that they sleep together in the same crib. That they feet be put at the end of the cot, they be tucked tightly, no blankets and pillows in the cot, just that very on their back, that they do promote that. That's what we were told when we left. I did some research and we made the choice, and I felt most comfortable with them having, they shared what we call a Nordica cot.
Okay.
So we call it a cot, so you call it a crib.
Yes.
But it's basically in between a bassinet sizing and in between a crib size. So it's, I put them head to head.
Yes.
So that they would be touched. They had their feet at the end of the cot.
Yes.
Their heads weren't touching. So they couldn't roll onto each other or anything like that. As soon as they started to roll, which was, I think, a couple of months in, then we separated them and put them into their separate cribs. So that's what I felt most comfortable with.
Yes. Well, I'm with you on that one, girl. So yeah, I'm right there with that school. I think it's interesting. So our American Academy of Pediatrics says that the twins shouldn't be co-cribbed. But after a little bit of my digging, I found that their research was based on siblings and not necessarily twins. So they were making this kind of they were telling us to do this one thing where their research is a little bit inconclusive, and that always drives me crazy. But I know that you guys were years behind our medical folks telling us to do these things. So Australia and New Zealand and even all the European countries, they were very pro, you know, head to head in the crib. And it's just, it's unbelievable how everything is changing. Like if we go back in time and look at what was happening in like the 60s, you would never put your 20s into separate cots. So it's just crazy how that happens. So yeah, I'm glad that you did. I found that for me personally, it was insanely beneficial. Like when my two children were in the NICU, I could actually, they would put them in the same bassinet all the time, and I could actually
watch. They put them side by side.
They put them side by side in the same bassinet, and I could watch their heartbeats and their respiration rates sink. And if I didn't see it with my own eyes, I would never believe that that actually happened. Like I wish it was something in hindsight that I would have recorded, because I was like, is this really happening? But that was what, there's studies that show that they do better together than they do apart. So it's just fascinating. I was hoping that you would say that they were like, yeah, put them together, because I was like, please, Krista, please. Okay. So now you come home, they sleep together until, you know, you move them apart. And what are some of the other joys that you have experienced?
I think just watching them interact with each other, like have those little conversations. They have chats to each other now. And my daughter will say, you know, to my son, oh, do you want a snack? Okay, Liam, you have snack. Mummy, Liam wants snack. And she'll, you know, he'll cough and she'll pat him on the back. And just watching them, like they really are, I mean, they fight, but they really are the best of friends. And it's just the sweetest bond. And you really do just appreciate how really special it is. It's intense. It's chaotic, but it really is amazing, and it's so special. And you just don't see it, you know. It's, and I mean, my son now has a lovely bond with them as well. And yeah, it's just really amazing. They just, knowing that they're going to grow up together, and they're each other's, you know, teachers and friend, and it's really sweet.
Oh, I love it. What are some things that you, when you go to your twin club meetups, what are some pieces of wisdom that you, you know, bestow upon the people that are there? Like when you're like, listen to me now, everybody, and you hold court and you're like, here's what you got to do. What are the things that you really recommend that somebody does? If you could speak to somebody during their pregnancy and they found out they're having twins and they have an older child, what are your, like, you have to know these things. What are those things?
Okay. I would say just being prepared. So trying to start your day off. So on a normal day for yourself, I think the more that you can prepare, as in, you know, prepare lunch for them at the beginning of the day when you do breakfast, so that create that independence for them. Mm-hmm. And also that then gives you that time if you're doing feeds for the twins, they've already got their lunch there and you don't have to stress about making a sandwich or lunch or snacks or whatever, because it's all done at the beginning.
Yes.
Same thing, the nappy bag, if it gets packed, even if you're not, if you don't have any plan to, you know, leave the house the next day,
mm-hmm.
pack the nappy bag, have it ready to go. So diaper bag, sorry.
No, it's fine. We got it. it's an international language is what you're speaking.
So have it packed with wipes and nappies and a couple of spare outfits. And I always have, even still now, I have a spare outfit for everyone in the car, and mm-hmm. once they're not toilet trained yet, so just one spare nappy, so that if we end up, so that you can be a bit spontaneous as well, because mm-hmm. there is a lot of planning involved with twins. And if you end up at the beach or you end up at a park and you just want to spend the rest of the day out and you think, oh, I don't have a spare, you know, yes. they make a mess, or you don't have a spare nappy, it's already in the car and it just takes up the tiniest bit of space, and mm-hmm. you're already done. And just those little things just make life that little bit easier if you can just get those things in place and make it a bit of a habit at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I loved, which is always advised through our twin club to new mums, is having an activity box for your toddler. So maybe chucking in some crayons or some new things, like not really expensive things, but just mm-hmm. things that they might be able to go to and keep them occupied, and puzzles or active, and just to relieve some of that boredom.
Yes, absolutely. Especially if you have to take care of the twinnies, you have a nice bag packed. I remember my mom always had that. So for me, I had this shoebox bag, and it was literally like a bag from the shoe store. And so there was all coloring books and crayons and markers. And markers were a very special thing, because we were never allowed to use markers in our house, because we would get it everywhere on the table and my mother would lose her marbles. So when we went outside, apparently my mother didn't care if we got it on like the restaurant or the bowling alley's table. She was okay with that. But I remember that we had this one special bag. So having, you know, an activity box. And then, by the way, you're going to have to do that now for the 20s, right? So you're going to have three different bags for everybody, and they could change out. You could have like one marker bag that's all coloring, and then one that may be little animals and stuff. But I remember, it's so funny that like I never even thought about that until this minute, but I remember my mom was on a bowling league. I don't know why, it's such a weird thing, but that was the one time we would go out, and it was before I started school. So she would take me with her, and I would sit at this table, and I had this Stride Right bag, which is a store that doesn't even exist. Oh no, I think it still exists. Yeah, the company still exists. I don't know if there's stores. But that's so funny that there was markers in there. And then they would dry out. So I would take a little cup of water, that like some ice of whatever they were drinking, and dip the markers in, so it would like reduce the markers. That's our crazy little activities. So it's funny. So yeah, that activity box and the activity bag is critical if you have twinnies plus one. So there's so many tips and tricks, and it's so nice. And even the calmness in your voice is so refreshing. And I know it's because you've had a long day. And if you get like, so right now it is 8 a.m. and it's midnight. It's 11 for you.
It's 11.
Yeah. So it's 11 p.m. for you. So you're like in that chilled portion of the day, and I'm in on my third cup of coffee. So this is what's happening. If you're like, what's happening in New York right now? Now, you know, it's that we're running around like the Tasmanian devil, like whirling dervishes through our home. So this has been so great, and I love that you're so positive, and I love that you write for us, and I'm honored that you found Twiniversity from quite a bit of a distance. But I would have never really thought that when I started this, it was going to have the impact that it did. I really just was doing something. I don't know if you know, like I started Twiniversity literally the day my twin started kindergarten, and I didn't know what I was going to do with myself. So I just started this, and look, it's absolutely amazing. I'm floored on a personal and professional level. I just can't believe that, you know, you guys know who we are and that we get to help you. So I love it. And you said you found us during your pregnancy, right?
Yes, I was just scrolling through Facebook and there it popped up. I just really liked reading the articles, and they were funny, and they just had great tips in there. And it was just really nice. It was really nice.
Well, I love it.
And to have that.
Some people will say that social media is the devil and it's horrible and it's going to be the ruin of our culture and society. And I will say right now it's the opposite, because it's providing connection and support, and we will always be here for you. And we hope that you continue writing for us. And there is a piece of me that hopes that the poop hits the fan and you have a legendary moment of, oh my God, here's what's happening. So yeah, there's a piece of me. It's just like
they are two. So yeah. Yeah, we're almost there.
And I hope it's literally the poop hitting the fan. Like, I hope you have a fan and they throw it at you. Like, there's a piece of me that's like, this is too good. It's too good to be true. But don't ever lose hope. And if you're going through a rough patch, there's ebbs and flows in twin parenting and parenting in general. And if you hit a rough spot, a good spot is around the corner. And even if it's not around the corner, what's the harm in thinking it's around the corner? That's what I say. Like, I'll say, tomorrow will be better. Odds are, for me, tomorrow may not be better. But you know what? I'm going to still hope that tomorrow's better, because that's what we need. You guys have to keep, you know, smiling and laughing at your 20s, enjoying the little moments. And honestly, I can't thank you enough for staying up so late and talking to us and just bringing us a little peace and serenity, because that's literally what you just did, even to me, because usually, like I said, I'm shot out of a cannon in the morning. But now I'm like, I'm going to have a good day. And Carissa, you know, / Miss Hannigan is giving me positive hope of the day. But you go to sleep. And I have to say, if you guys need anything from Carissa, if you want to learn more about anything, she is such a wealth of information and just radiantly positive. And to reach her, just send us a message at community@twiniversity.com and we will get the message to her ASAP. I absolutely promise you. But thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for joining us today.
Thanks, Matt.
Oh, it is my pleasure. And until next time, we're going to let Carissa go to bed and we're going to continue having a great day here at the Twiniversity headquarters, aka my living room. And it's going to be a fantastic day. And thank you so much for listening. Stay positive, be good. And if you need us, you know where to find us. We're at Twiniversity on all social platforms. And if you are currently expecting, we would love if you joined us for a class, and you could just go to twiniversity.com/classes. So until next time, guys, see you later, alligators.